This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. The spirit of Black Lives Matter is alive and well north of our border. In an amazing show of strength and activism, a number of activists from Black Lives Matter Toronto have been camping out outside their police headquarters to protest, among other things, the police killings of a 45-year-old South Sudanese man named Andrew Loku and a 21-year-old man named Alex Wetlaufer. On Saturday, BLM activists declared a blackout day of action and surrounded the Toronto police headquarters. The group has also released a mixtape of music by local artists. We now go directly to Toronto to speak with BLM Toronto activist Alexandria Williams. Welcome to Rising Up.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Hello.
Thanks so much for joining us. So you're right there where this encampment is. Paint a picture for our audience. How many activists have been camped out? How long has it been happening?
Well, we started last week, Sunday. And on average per night, we have about 30 folks. It picks up a lot around dinner time, around 7 o'clock, where folks come in after work for dinner to have dinner with community. And at that point, around 7 to about 11, you're looking at about 150 different people coming to the site. The site right now, we have food available for folks. We have blankets, tarpaulins. We have a medical station, which is also open to healing with massages. We also have prayer space, so folks who want to access the space can also be able to keep up with the religious practices. It's just a really great place of community healing that was once the spot for group violence.
So let's talk about that. What are the motivations of BLM Toronto? I mentioned two police killings. Is that the main reason you're there?
The main reason that we're here right now is actually to blow the lid and make sure that Canada and Toronto especially wakes up to the fact of the reality of being Black in Toronto. Along with the death of Andrew Loku and Jermaine Carby, one of the biggest things that we learned was that there was going to be a disbasement of Afrofest, which was a Caribbean African festival, which was the biggest one in the Northern Hemisphere, that it was going to be taken from 2 days to one. So that also added to why we came out here and protested today.
And is there a pattern of police disproportionately killing Black Canadians, like we have here in the U.S. with police killings of African Americans?
Yes, most definitely. For the most part, in Canada, Black folk make 3% of Canada's population, which on average about 6 to 7 Black folks being shot by police per year. We make up 10% of the prison system here in Canada as well. And in terms of like the funding and education, a lot of our Afrocentric schools are losing funding. So we are being systematically attacked in various ways, as well, in comparison to the United States. But the only difference here is that we are shielded by the sheer false multiculturalism that Canada holds as a way to sort of erase the anti-Black racism that's happening here in Canada.
And our cops who kill people and kill Black Canadians also generally acquitted or not even charged with crimes like we have here in the U.S.?
Yes. So one of the biggest reasons why we came out here, because the SIU, which is the Special Investigations Unit, which is much like the grand jury there in the United States, said they would not indict the officers that killed Andrew Loku. They also said they will not indict the officers that came Jermaine Carby, as well as Sammy Yatin. So these are men that have been killed, Black men that have been killed most recently by Toronto police. Two of them suffering from mental health issues, with the SIU saying that they will not indict the officers for these murders.
I'm so glad you brought up this issue of Canada's veneer of multiculturalism, because here in the United States, we imagine life is so much better in Canada. We feel like we're plagued with, at least people are paying attention, feel like we're plagued with so many levels of systemic racism. And in Canada, there's the sense, particularly with their new prime minister, that we have this liberal, multicultural culture. You know, Canada's just, you know, has this stereotype of having the most polite people on the planet, and yet you're saying that there is systemic racism and there's police violence.
Yes, most definitely. Especially when you look in terms of the way the police responded to us camping out here on Monday night with the grave violence. It was a massacre. It was horrible out here on Monday night.
What happened specifically? So about a week after your encampment started, the police sort of took action?
No, after 24 hours, the police showed up to put out our fire, to take away our tents. When we had fire marshals come just a couple of minutes before and tell us that our fire was okay. But then the police greeted us. They tore us apart. I myself was punched in the head while trying to pick up one of my friends off the floor while we were trying to move kids out of the space. There have been other protests that have happened in this space that have happened around Toronto where folks have used fire and have been able to use tents, but we're not greeted with that type of violence. Ever since Black Lives Matter has started here in Toronto, we have been received with an immense amount of violence. Not only did police attack us once on that night, they attacked us twice. So the minute that we start saying that within the practices of the Canadian government and within the practices of police services that there is an intrinsic anti-Black sentiment, all of a sudden we are met with grave, grave violence. And I think it just goes to show that being able to hide behind the basis of the Great North and the fact that there's so much history here in terms of Canada being a place of liberation, I feel like the actions of the police officers and how they greeted peaceful protest shows that here we are not safe within our Black identity, as well as if they intersect with many other things in terms of sexual identity or gender identity.
So you were punched in the head by police. Now, what does the activism look like? Is it primarily Black Toronto residents, or is there a sort of a broad, you know, group of people representing various backgrounds that are present?
Yes, even though we have a very sheer coding of multiculturalism here, and even though people of color communities do know that it is not safe to be a racialized person here, the solidarity that has been happening here on the ground, we have had Indigenous folks from the First Credit Nations of the Mississaugas here from the beginning. We've had Sikh activists come out and stand in solidarity, Tamil activists, lots of folks from the South Asian community, lots of Asians and East Asians standing in solidarity with us. So the community that's being created here is one that is vast and goes outside of the Black community and is showing that we are actually stronger in numbers when we stand together.
What about white Canadians? Are there white Canadians as well?
Most definitely. Our white allies have been here in terms of support and making sure that we have everything that we need, and also understanding their place within this movement and knowing that they're here to support and nothing else.
So, Alexandria, you're at the encampment today. We can hear the music in the background. Do you mind using your phone for our TV audience to just giving us a sort of a visual survey of where you're at?
Yes, most definitely. Would it work if I turn my camera around?
Yeah, let's take a look and see what you're seeing. And this is, again, for our TV audience.
This is some of the things.
That looks like a bookstore.
This is where the DJ
station. There's music station, okay.
Yeah. Right up here, we have like different spaces where people are just chilling out. This is the art corner. So a lot of people come in and they create different art throughout the day. I'm just going to take a walk up here so you can see. So we have...
That's the encampment where people's sleeping bags, literally.
Yes, we have sleeping bags here, and what you'll see... it's like different. There's art all around the space. I'm just going to come back. That's the big banner that we've put out.
That says Black Lives Matter. Yeah.
Yes, right in front of police headquarters. I'm going to do a little bit more. So right over here. Oops, sorry. Hi, Uncle. So right over here, this is where we have prayer space. As you can see, we have the mats out here for folks who need a mix a lot or whatever they need to do. This is also our matic station where folks could come if they're extremely exhausted or want a massage. This is our treatment center, our sacred healing space. We also have a medical table. Say hello, matics. Say hi. Okay. This is our first aid, and we have tons of stuff. All of the things that you're seeing here are donations from community. So we have boots, we have stockings, blankets upon blankets, coolers. This is our food station.
And so I should also mention for our audience here in California and around the United States, it's very cold in Toronto right now. Earlier when we were talking to you, your phone turned off because it froze. I mean, that's kind of, so people are camping out in a very sort of harsh environment, at least by my standards here in Southern California.
Yes. Oh, it is freezing here.
I mean, it's not snowing, but it's really cold.
Yes. It was snowing. Can I turn the camera back
yes.
on now? It was snowing on Thursday night. We did have snow and ice. The police said we couldn't put up tarpaulins or anything of that sort. But right now the temperature is about -2, regardless of what the sun looks like. So it's actually pretty cold out here. It's freezing out here. So the fact that we've been out here for over 9 days now is actually nothing less than amazing.
Wow, 9 days. Okay, so Alexandria, what are your demands from Toronto police and also from local politicians? Have there been local politicians or city council members who have reacted, who want to join in, or who have said, no, you need to end this?
Yes, we have been talking to city councilors. There have been 3 city councilors from different districts here in Toronto that are placing a motion to be moved to have a condolences motion for Andrew Loku, to also make sure that there's a full investigation of the SIU, which is one of our demands. One of our biggest demands is to make sure that the names of the officers that killed Andrew Loku are released, that there is an investigation into the SIU, and that Mayor John Tory actually is able to come and meet with us to actually meet for other demands that we have.
And the SIU, again, is the Special Investigations Unit.
Yes, they are the Special Investigations Unit.
So I understand that there was a day of action that took place on Saturday where people surrounded the headquarters. And so are people sort of coming out for these days with a core group of people camping out at night, and then you have others sort of supporting during the day?
Yeah, the core group at night changes, but for the most part, it's been about 15 core folks, myself included, and other members, co-founders of BLMTU, who are staying at the night just to make sure the space is safe. But in terms of this space, it's very much a community space. So when community can come and access it, that's when they do. So right now, you have folks who are coming in during the day, who literally are here from like 2 to 3, or you have some folks who will do the night shift. The action on Saturday was amazing. There were about 3,000 folks who came out in support and just sort of had a great time. We had dramas, we had dances, we had speeches. Andrew's best friend was here, as well as Jermaine Carby's cousin was able to speak on the situations and how it's affecting their families at the current moment. But the action on Saturday was just to reignite the fire that we started here in community, the solidarity that we've created across different communities, and just to remind people that we're still here.
And you also have a mixtape that you released. This is amazing. Tell us about this mixtape. So local artists donated music, and you're using it as a way to raise funds for BLM Toronto.
Yes. One of the greatest things I feel about this action here is the way that artists have been including their different forms of medium and their different forms of creativity to sort of support in the ways that they can. And local Toronto artists have come together and created a mixtape, which is basically talking about their experiences here at BLMTO Black City, and just actually creating music. So right now, that mixtape is all. People are using it, donating it, buying it, and just sort of getting the experience of what it's like to be here in the site if they can actually make it down to the encampment.
And then also tell us about the kind of solidarity that you might be seeing from Black Lives Matter chapters in other parts of Canada, and also what about here in the U.S.?
In the U.S., we actually have folks who are here now who are coming to help support in terms of if core members like myself need to switch off and get a shower. They're here to actually help with that. They're here for de-escalation tactics. So we were able to reach out to Black Lives Matter Toronto and BYP as well, and they came over right away as soon as we needed support. In various places across Canada, the way that we've connected to other folks and what they've seen happening in here in Toronto has sparked other solidarity movements and other chapters that are being created across Canada to sort of share their solidarity with us and to address different types of anti-blackness that's affecting their provinces as well.
And so how can people keep up with what's happening at Black Lives Matter Toronto? Can they follow you on social media? Is there any kind of live stream or anything else they can look at?
Well, we don't. Well, we're not there live streaming yet. That's on the list. Hopefully we could get to that point where people could be able to look at us live streaming. But you can definitely follow us on Twitter at BLM_TO or our Facebook page, which is Black Lives Matter, semicolon, Toronto Coalition, or email us at info@blacklivesmatterto.ca.
And we'll post all of those details on our website, risingupwithsonali.com, later today. And we'll continue to follow what's happening in Toronto, whether police are going to respond to you positively or negatively. Alexandria, best of luck to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me and have a great day.
Alexandria Williams is with Black Lives Matter Toronto. This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.